Okay, you have all done so well, and I want to ask you just to listen for a few more minutes, okay? My teacher, whenever I was at school, always taught me that repetition was the key. I only wish I had listened to her a bit more. But does anybody know what the word repetition means? It's a big word. It means you have to keep going over the same thing to make sure that it's sunk in to our brains, okay? So in the first talk, we learned that we had something wrong with us. And what was it? Sin, yep. And we also learned that God likes sin. Is that correct? Okay, very good. And in the second talk, we learned that Jesus sent his son. What did Jesus' son come to earth to do? What did he come to earth to do? To die on the cross. And why did God send his son to die on the cross? To take away our sins. Very good. Hands up if you've ever been sick here this morning. Hands up if you've ever been sick. Hands up if you've been so sick that you've had to go to the doctors. Okay, just a few of you. And whenever you go to the doctors, what does he give you? Maybe, sometimes. What does he give you if you're sick? He gives you tablets. And what happens if you don't take your tablets? You get more sick. That's correct. My wife has a pet peeve about me. Sometimes I go to the doctors and I get a course of antibiotics. And I'm ashamed to say that sometimes I only take half the course, which means I end up having to go back to the doctors for a stronger course of antibiotics whenever I should have taken the first one, and that would have been enough. You see, this morning, boys and girls and mums and dads, it's not enough just to know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. There's nobody here this morning in this building does not know that Christ died on the sins. You have had a minister for the last 10 years or so who has been faithful to the preaching of the word. Everybody knows that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. But it's not enough this morning just to know. You also need to put into action what you've been told. You need to do something this morning with the information that you have received. You need to ask Jesus into your hearts to take away your sins. It says in the Bible, whoever asks will receive. If you ask Jesus today to take away your sins, he promises you that he will do it. What would you think this morning if I took my box of goodies home with me again? What would you think this morning if I took my box of goodies home with me this morning? I'm nearly scared to ask this question because you didn't seem that impressed with what was in the box in the first place. But what would happen this morning if I took my box home with me again and I sat this afternoon and ate all the sweets and played with all the toys that was in the box? Would you be happy about that? Huh? No. Would you be sad about that? Yes. Well, do you know what? Because I'm such a kind and generous person, which is rich coming from a Ballymena man, I can tell you, but because I'm so generous this morning, I'm going to share with you what's in my box. Will you be happy about that? You don't sound too enthusiastic. If I don't get a more enthusiastic answer, I'm going to take the box home with me again. Will you be happy about that? Would you know what? This morning there are some people sitting here this morning that have the best gift that God has ever given them, and they don't share it with anybody else. Isn't that sad, boys and girls? Isn't that sad that we have the best gift that God has ever given us, and we don't share it with other people? You need to show people that God is living in your lives by your behavior. That means obeying your mum and dad whenever they ask you to do things like cleaning the room or switching off the TV and going to bed. You need to obey your parents. You need to do what your Sunday school teachers tell you and your teachers in school to show that you are different from the rest of the world. I'm going to speak for a minute or two now to the mums and dads. Is that okay? You have been so good, and I just need two more minutes to speak to the mums and dads. Eric Liddell once said, "We are all missionaries wherever we go. We either bring people nearer to Christ or we repel them from Christ. We are all missionaries wherever we go. We either bring people nearer to Christ or we repel them from Christ." Over the last number of months up at college, I have been doing assignments. And one of my assignments was to do with the revival. And for part of that, I looked at the history of First Ohuckle Presbyterian Church. And it was such an exciting time. But you want to know what? I think we've lost part of that here this morning. I think we've lost what it means to be missionaries in the world where God has called us to work. I want you to picture something this morning with me. Imagine there's a next time there's a shout out to the church for people to help with the chairs. And so many people turn up that we have to say, "Sorry, look, we don't need you now, but can you come back again?" What happens the next time whenever we need to cater for a function? That there are so many people willing to volunteer that Lorna has to say, "Look, we're full up this time, but we'll get you the next time." What happens if the next time we need a leader in our organizations that we're swamped with candidates? What happens on a Wednesday night whenever we meet together to pray as a people that there were so many people here that we had to move into the sanctuary because there wasn't enough room in the meeting room? What happens if there were so many people here on a Sunday morning that we had to use the halls as an overflow room and the upstairs youth suite as an overflow room? Can you just imagine the witness that that would be to the people out there? I want to share with you one last quotation from W.E.B. Du Bois. "Give us grace, O Lord, to do the deed which we will know Christ to be done. Let us not hesitate because of ease or the words of men's mouths or our own lives. Mighty causes are calling us, but they call with voices that mean work and sacrifice and death. Mercifully grant us, O God, the spirit of Esther, that we say, 'I will go on to the king, and if I perish, I perish.'" Let me just read that again. "Give us grace, O Lord, to do the deed which we will know Christ to be done. Let us not hesitate because of ease or the words of men's mouths or our own lives. Mighty causes are calling us, but they call with voices that mean work and sacrifice and death. Mercifully grant us, O God, the spirit of Esther, that we say, 'I will go on to the king, and if I perish, I perish.'" When I look at the churches today, it saddens me to think that people do not fully appreciate what Christ has done for us by dying on the cross for our sins. If you look up the word sacrifice in the Oxford Dictionary, it doesn't say anywhere in that definition that I will come to the midweek meeting on a Wednesday evening if my boyfriend or my girlfriend can't see me tonight. It doesn't say about coming to something in the church whenever the sports event that you're involved in doesn't take place. Sacrifice is about pain. It's about giving up something that we cherish and that we hold dear in order to serve the greater good. Can I ask you, whenever we come into 2014, ask yourself the question, not what the church is doing for me, but what you can do for your church. Building this magnificent building is a great achievement. But now that we've got it, what are we going to do with it in order to reach the people of Ahakal and beyond? If this place was overflowing every time there was a service or a prayer meeting, what a witness that would be to the world outside us. I just want to read again. Give us grace, O God, to do the deed which we will know Christ to be done. Let us not hesitate because of ease or the words of men's mouths or our own lives. Mighty causes are calling us, but they call us with voices that mean work and sacrifice and death. Mercifully grant us, O God, the spirit of Esther, that we say, I will go unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. My prayer is this Christmas time that you have a peaceful and relaxing time. But I also pray that you will remember what Christ's birth is all about and the sacrifices that he made that we might have the gift of eternal life. Amen. We're now going to stand to worship God. See him lying on a bed.
Going to have two baptisms now. I'll say a wee bit about that in a moment or two. Just before I do, can I just remind you of an announcement that's on the announcement sheet that I omitted to mention? And of course, that's Christmas morning service, 10:30. If you're doing nothing, in fact, if you are doing something, come anyway. At 10:30 here in the church, and we'd love to see you join with us. It's a short service, very informal, but you'll be very welcome. And children, you're allowed to come and bring your toys with you. So please come on Christmas morning. It's a great joy to have these baptisms today. Two families, first of all, Richard and Judith Adams. They would be strangers to most of you because they've just joined recently. They were admitted on profession of faith at our last pre-communion. And they've been here every Sunday, I think, pretty much. And we're delighted to have you with us. And their wee girl, Poppy, is going to be baptized. Now, Poppy's, what age is Poppy? About 3. That's what I thought, 3. So Poppy's going to be baptized. So take time at the end of the service to go up and introduce yourself to them. We don't expect you to remember half the people that speak to you, but you'll have seen them. Many of you will have seen them and been talking to them. The other two are a bit better known, Andrew and Jacqueline Manili. Andrew was a blow-in because he married into the congregation, but he's here a long time. In fact, they're one of the first couples that I married when I came to First O'Hochel. Jacqueline was baptized in the congregation, has been brought up in the congregation through Sunday school and the youth fellowship. And it's just been a great joy to see the arrival of this wee man, Reuben. And I can tell you he has been longed for years. And it's such a blessing to both the Manili and Crawford families as well. And we rejoice with you. The Bible says, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And we rejoice with you today. Now, I'm not going to say very much other than just remind you of what I said last week. And I don't know if any of you remember what I said last week in my preamble to the baptism. I said, if you remember, this is not, I said what it's not. It's not a naming ceremony. And isn't it just as well? Isn't it? Because those of you who are here will know that I used the wrong name. And let me explain what happened. It was Ross's child. Okay, that explains a lot. But Benjamin was walking, and I thought he was going to fall in here to the organ pit, and that was, I was totally distracted by him. And that's what happened. So I used the name Benjamin when I meant Jacob. But the Lord knew who I meant. So anyway, we're not going to do that today. Okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right this time, Ross. All right. So if both couples would come up first of all. Dearly beloved, attend to the words of the institution of the sacrament of baptism as delivered by our Lord and Savior to his disciples after his resurrection and before his ascension to the right hand of God. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It is the duty of those who present their children for baptism to make confession of the faith wherein they are to be baptized, and to promise to bring them up in that faith and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Would the congregation please stand? Now let me say, as I said last week, what baptism is not. It is not a naming ceremony, and it is not baptismal regeneration. By baptizing a child, it does not make that child a Christian. That's not what we believe. They're brought up in a Christian home. They're engaged to be the Lord's. And when the living God by his Holy Spirit begins to work in that individual's life and draws them to themselves, to himself, and brings them to that place of repentance and faith, then they put their trust in Christ. and then they're saved. But in the meantime, these parents are promising to provide a Christian home for them, to teach them the things of God. Well, in presenting your child for baptism, we're going to, first of all, pray. Let us pray. Lord our God, we want to thank you for these children. We thank you for Poppy and we thank you for Reuben. And we praise you, our God, for the joy that they have brought into the lives of their parents and to their extended family circle. We thank you, our God, for the homes that they have been born into, for the love that they're experiencing and will experience. And God, you know it is our prayer that early in life these children would come to know and love you for themselves. We pray for the parents. We ask you, God, to be with them. We pray for Andrew and Jacqueline, for Richard and Judith, as they would make their vows now, and ask God that you would give them the grace to fulfill their vows. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first question then, in presenting your child for baptism, do you confess your faith in God as your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your Sanctifier? Secondly, do you promise in dependence on divine grace to teach them the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer, precept, and example, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and in the ways of the Church of God? Okay. Let me bring Poppy over. If you lean over, Poppy, I'm just going to put some water in your head, okay? Poppy, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reuben, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Reuben's joining in the chorus. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you will bless these children, and that in your mercy and by your grace alone, that you'll bring them to yourself and make them your own. Bless their homes. Bless the teaching that they receive there from their parents. Not just formal instruction, but the example letters that they are set in their homes. May all of these things be used by the Holy Spirit to draw them to yourself. Now, Lord, separate us with your blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.